Welcome to 3GT, a podcast where a pastor, parishioner, and professor have lively conversations on practical Christian living from a Reformed perspective. For more information, visit our website at 3GT.fm.
Welcome to another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. This is one of the guys. My name is Kyle Borg, and I'm kind of fielding the questions today to my usual cohorts, Barry York and Aaron Sams. So welcome once again to the show, you guys and listeners. We're thankful that you're tuning in for another episode. Just a reminder, if you would like to help support some of the ongoing work of Three Guys Theologizing, we do have a Patreon account, and you can head over there. And if you feel the desire to maybe donate some money to help us along, we would really appreciate that. Well, today I want to talk in some general terms about stories. We live in a culture and a day and age where stories are very prevalent. Of course, that's true of humanity. Stories are powerful. People love stories. And people seem to especially love stories that help give us an inside look into someone's life. Well, one of the things that I've been reading a lot more or seeing pop up a lot more in a lot of things that are being written today is this idea of every Christian having a personal story, or sometimes it's called a faith story or a faith journey. Maybe the older generation called them testimonies. But the stories of our lives about how God has worked, perhaps how he brought us to salvation, perhaps what God is doing in our lives today. And a lot of people talk about their faith journey and really play this up as this is what we really need to be emphasizing is each person's personal faith journey. And today I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about that because I think as we're going to get into, there's some good aspects about that. I think there's some useful things. But maybe there's also some unuseful things or some cautions that we ought to have when we come to talk about our what we might call a faith story. And so to get us started, have you guys personally ever been in a place or a venue where you've been asked to share your testimony or your faith story?
Oh yeah, definitely. I grew up in a pretty conservative Baptist tradition, and the personal testimony was very much a part of that. There would be often... I want to say it was like months that had five Sundays that the last Sunday would be at the evening service. Instead of having a standard service, there would be mostly just singing and testimonies. And that was just kind of the thing that they did. And often you would be asked to give yours and just tell about how you came to faith. And oftentimes these were, you know, I never knew my life outside of the church or away from Christ, or other times it would be, you know, with, you know, gory detail of a life of sin that was then changed by faith in Christ. And it was just kind of interesting to see everyone's different perspective. Probably the most unexpected time I was asked to share my own personal testimony. I was on a mission trip in Mexico when I was in college, and we're just sitting around with the group, and I didn't speak a lick of Spanish, and apparently people started giving their testimonies, and the guy coordinating the trip that was translating for us, he points at me and basically says, you know, you're up. And so I had to stand up and talk about my boring faith story, because I, again, was raised in the church and didn't have this, ridiculous life outside of that prior to, and then that was being translated, and people were just kind of staring at me like, oh, okay, well, this is not what we wanted to hear. But yes, I have had to, and this is right up there with praying in public for me. Oh man, put me on the spot, and I'm just going to sound like a blathering idiot if I have to just talk about, you know, my coming to faith.
Well, good. So, Aaron, why don't you share your testimony with us? You're on some, yes, you know.
I,
w-
I was raised as no.
You know, not to take a stroll down memory lane and to give Barry a chance here for a moment, but I grew up in a broad evangelical home, and you know, our church was all about testimonies as well. And I remember it was always just so funny because youth group leaders would ask you, you know, get up and share your story, and I'd be like, look, I've never been addicted to drugs, I've never done any of this stuff, I've never killed somebody, like my story is so boring. And I remember our youth group leaders just trying to always emphasize there are no boring stories. Everybody's personal faith testimony is, you know, amazing. But anyway, I'm right there with you, Aaron. I remember growing up in that way. And, you know, I was kind of a boring kid. I sat inside and I read a lot and minded most of my manners, obeyed my parents. And, you know, so I appreciate that. What about you, Barry?
Well, sons, let me tell you my story.
Okay, Dad.
I actually was quite a heathen growing up, so I was in and out of church, and so I came to faith in a parachurch ministry in college, and there was a big emphasis on being able to share your testimony, and it was a training. I mean, I went through workshops, and you would share it in front of mentors, and they would offer critiques, and there was a real, at least the way I was trained, a real desire to make sure that when you were sharing your story, you were really telling the gospel of Christ. So it wasn't just this, look what I've done type of thing, but where you were really speaking of Jesus and what the gospel is about. You were always encouraged to make sure you're mentioning his death and resurrection and perhaps a Bible verse that the Lord had used in your life. And so that was a big part of my early Christian life. And even in the ministry, there's been different times where I've emphasized and training people for evangelism or preparing young people to become members of the church. Can you express in a concise way God's work in your life? And might talk a little bit about that later, but yeah, I've certainly had this as part of my training and life of ministry as well.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Barry, kind of what you're saying about Christ's work in your life is that I think my sanctification story is far more interesting than my justification story or my initial salvation story. And Kyle, that might even play into your initial question of this this concept of a faith journey, of not so much just what brought you to faith, but how has your faith impacted you, and what have been the things that you've kind of, you know, had to work through in your own life as part of that faith.
Yeah, let's hold on to that thought because I do want to get into that. I think that's a very pivotal point.
That's right, we're only 7 minutes into this recording. I should probably wait till end.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to another end of another episode. Thanks, you guys. So thank you for sharing that. So there is an emphasis across the spectrum on this idea of testimonies, you know, faith journeys. I don't like that term personally, but whatever. For all the emphasis, is this something that we see as a biblical pattern? Is there a lot made of personal testimonies in Scripture, or where might you guys go to show some of the biblical foundations for this?
Well, certainly in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul's conversion story is not only told to us, but there's two different times where he's on trial and he recounts what God had done in his life. And so, again, in my experience in some of these workshops where you were being trained and doing a testimony, you'd look at Paul's testimony and use it as a model. So there's at least that. And I think you find it in his writings. I've just noticed so often, and actually in a mercy class I'm teaching, pointing out to the students that when Paul is urging the church toward giving to others or remembering others, he always goes back to the gospel, remembering what God has done for you. And then often he would personalize it, talking about him being the chief of sinners or other indications of God's grace in his own life. So his letters have that, you know, behind, they're not prominent, but at least in the letter, you see some of his personal life coming out as he writes to the churches and their leaders.
Yeah, I mean, and so much of the Bible is narrative, and it's not just historical narrative of large groups of people. It's often individuals and their their struggles with their faith and their stories of redemption and their stories of punishment and how God has kind of let them fall into their sin and then redeem them out of that. And so we see that time and time again, be it Old Testament examples like David or Jonah or New Testament examples, Barry, like you were talking about with Paul, or even not so happy examples like Ananias and Sapphira. And there's just so many stories about people and the ramifications of their actions that are not just there as moral examples, but are concrete examples of how one's faith does play out on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. And so what are some of the positive aspects, or what do you guys appreciate about other people's testimonies, or what is it that you like to hear about? I think you've alluded to some of that, Barry, with saying that this organization you were in really emphasized a gospel-centered testimony, but what are the benefits of this? Is this a practice that should be encouraged in the churches to have opportunities to do things like this?
I enjoy hearing people's stories because it really brings it brings theology out of the realm of the theoretical and into the practical, and it's an example of someone who's gone before me in the faith, or even after me in the faith, and just how they have worked through the challenges of being a Christian, because, as we all know, that life doesn't instantly become perfect once you're saved, that there you really have to wrestle through a lot of things and go through this process of mortification your entire life. And just hearing how other people have been able to do that, or how they've been defeated by sin, I find it to be an encouragement and helpful in just refining my own spiritual experience or faith journey, Kyle. I'll use the term.
I think you have to measure what you're seeking to accomplish in their sharing. I mean, you have someone like Rosaria Butterfield, who's just, her conversion story is so incredible and remarkable, and actually speaks so specifically to a significant issue of our day, that to have her at a conference or some other setting where she's telling God's work in her life, I think it glorifies God. It makes, especially the way she recounts it, makes the gospel really clear and powerful. So I think there's a place for that. And books, her story, The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, is, again, just such a powerful read. But not all of our stories are that way. And so we shouldn't always be trying to, quote, put on center stage certain people's stories. There's, like Aaron's alluded to, there's a lot of people who don't want that, and we should be careful not to create an environment where we're trying to force people to come up with a story. God often delights in working in what can seem to the world very small, insignificant, ordinary ways. In most Christians' lives, that's what happens. That's not to devalue his working. It's just to make sure that we're not trying to make more out of what's happened in someone's life than has really occurred. We can't all be like a Rosaria Butterfield, or we can't all be like a missionary on a field seeing incredible things. That might not be our particular calling. So I think the way you handle the sharing of stories, the right environment, I think is a big part of this.
I know that in the RPCNA, our constitution encourages, perhaps even at a prayer meeting, to open the venue for sharing of testimonies, and I've found that helpful in the past. Mm-hmm. So, well, I think there is merit to sharing stories like this. I think they can be helpful. Like you said, Aaron, I too love hearing the stories, if for no other reason than this constant reminder that we're all trophies of God's grace. That's a really cheesy cliche statement. I'm sorry, it just kind of came out. But we really are, right? You see the grace of God evident in people's lives, and that's reason to rejoice. And it's a reminder to us. I'm always amazed when you sit down and maybe in a group setting and you begin to hear, people's understanding of what they've been saved out of. And you just sit there and you think, the church really is a conglomeration of sinners saved by grace. And I don't think we can't be reminded of that too often. Mm-hmm. Nor can we make that known to other people too often. I think that sometimes people in the church get, you know, people look at you and they think, wow, there's a really saintly person. And there are saintly people in the church, but at the end of the day, they are sinners saved by grace. And I think these types of recountings, these stories, will help remind us of that. But let me come at it from another angle. So if there's positive aspects to it, maybe what are some of the cautions that we should sound when it comes to things like this? You know, there is such an emphasis, especially from the missional crowd, to really highlight one's faith journey. What are some cautions we could throw out there? Could there be dangers in doing things like this and making something of our stories? What do you guys think about that?
I definitely think there's a danger. I was ministering to a man back in my pastorate in Indiana, and he came to us out of a mission. And well, to be honest, this man was a homosexual and had been with hundreds of people. And when he came to our church, there was a season where it looked like his heart might have been opening up to the gospel, but sadly that turned out not to be the case. But he recounted to me during that brief time of ministry that I had with him that early on, when he was a younger man, when he came to us, he was at least in his 50s, if not 60s. He had made a profession of faith out of homosexuality, and a church began to, a ministry somewhere began to parade him around and even got him recorded on TV. And then sadly, you know, he just went back into his lifestyle. And so I think we have to be really careful as the church not to take people and put them into situations where they lack the maturity or not ready for something like that. I think, you know, the Apostle Paul went off for 3 years in pretty much isolation, and I think that gave him time to really settle his convictions and make his commitment to really follow through with what God had done in his life, and then he was ready to go and quote tell the story. But I think for the church, we need to be really careful not to push people into the limelight too soon. I think there's a great danger in that we're warned about in the Bible.
Yeah, I think another thing that we should be careful of is to weigh everyone's story against scripture, because I've heard some crazy stuff said in some testimonies too. Like, I mean, things like, you know, like, you know, like there was Jesus sitting next to me in my house and, you know, talking to me, things like that. And I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure that's not how it works anymore. And, you know, just stuff like that, you know, I don't want to denigrate their experience and what they kind of how they perceive things going on. But I also don't want people to hear that and think that that's normative in terms of what most people can expect with encounters. In fact, some of the things that could be said could be downright heretical. And we really have to be cautious with, you know, we still have to have our good theology filters on and our biblical filters on when we're listening to someone's testimony, but we also have to be careful that we don't just throw it back at them and, you know, tell them that they're stupid and wrong and that their faith is illegitimate. So that's kind of a weird, I guess, balancing act, but it is something we should be careful of.
Any other correctives or any other cautions? I can think of some, but before I start talking, do you guys have any other thoughts on that?
Go ahead. We don't mind you talking.
Okay.
It's never stopped you before. Yeah.
Man, oh man.
If we did, we wouldn't have this podcast.
Man, oh man. Well, you know, I appreciate so much of what you guys have said here, definitely with the lack of maturity. And I think, Barry, that even is expressed sometimes in other ways as well. I remember being in a college group once, and there were probably 30 people present and mixed crowd. And one of the young men said that he really felt the need to share his personal story. And he went into all of his very private struggles with sin, which would cause most of the men in the room to blush, let alone the women. And I think there is, you know, biblical propriety does mention that there are things, there are sinful acts that we do that are not worthy to be mentioned around the children of light. We don't need, but sometimes you people in sharing their stories want to elaborate on those things. And I think there's a certain maturity that says, you know, it's okay to put things in general terms. You know, even when God describes the sins of his people in the Bible, he uses metaphor. He does use graphic imagery. Ezekiel 16 is one of the most graphic chapters in all of Scripture. And yet there is a, you don't want to call it a watering down, but there is a precaution taken that not every nitty-gritty detail needs to be spilled in front of people.
Kyle, I think that speaks to the audience that, as we were talking earlier, what's the purpose of this? And you really need to know who the audience is that you're speaking to if you're sharing your testimony. What you might say to a group of men in a small group is going to be greatly different than what you would say before a whole congregation. So you have to exercise propriety.
Yep. And I also think another aspect of this maturity and kind of bringing together some of what you guys have both said, you know, Barry, you mentioned Rosaria Butterfield. And I think, you know, her story, her testimony is amazing. Just displaying the grace of God. But one of the very unique contributions I think she is able to make is very mature biblical thinking about her own conversion story. Mm-hmm. Whereas sometimes when you throw new Christians into that who have not thought through things, or Aaron, as you said, measured things by the Bible, it can very quickly be, I think, confusing and misleading. And I'm not saying they're intentionally doing that. I'm saying they don't have the maturity yet to really reflect on what was happening. What was God doing in my life? God saves us, and we can't always explain how he does that. And sometimes testimonies begin to grapple with that, and you kind of step back and go, that's great, but I think that needs a little more reflection.
I think that's where people in the church need to come alongside. You think of Apollos, who was mighty in the spirit in many ways, preaching, and then Priscilla and Aquila draw alongside him and correct him some. And I think we don't want to dampen the enthusiasm a new Christian may have. We might not give them the limelight, but they may be going out and sharing things anyway, and we would just want to make sure that we're carefully guiding them along, shepherding them along to help them to state the gospel more clearly.
Yep. I also think, and Barry, I think you had mentioned this a little earlier, but just to reemphasize, you know, sometimes when you give a story, well, in all things, we need to be honest. And it is easy sometimes, even in Christian circles, to want to build something up to maybe be a little more than it was. I remember one of my friends used to call testimonies a glory story. And he said it turns into Christians vying for the best glory story. You know, how depraved can I make myself sound? And you know, and again, that's not to undermine the amazing grace of God. And that we are all sinners, but there is that idea that it does need to be honest. And Barry, as you said, it's okay to be ordinary, right? My prayer for my children since the day they've been born is that they would not know a day without Jesus. And that may not give them the best story in human terms at all times, but that's my prayer. Because God works in very ordinary ways. We don't need to be having these glory stories where we really try to make something of our lives that maybe it's not. The one other thing that maybe we can address is one of the things that I have heard from people is what, if I could put it this way, it is the conflating of the subjective with the objective, or the conflating of a testimony with what you might call the revelation of God. So as a pastor, I get the great opportunity to interact with a lot of people. And I remember once quite some time ago interacting with a man and we just started talking about his life, and he started sharing with me things that were going on and, you know, his testimony. And the pivotal moment for this man in his life was when he believed He had an out-of-body experience wherein he went to heaven. And that became a very pivotal moment in his life. And when he had struggles, when he had doubts, when he was lacking assurance, he would always go back to that experience and say, but that's my story. How could I not be a Christian? And yet God brought me to heaven. And one of the things that as I got to know him and tried to encourage him in is, you know, I don't know what you experienced. I can weigh it out, as Aaron encouraged, by the word of God. I don't think people go to heaven. I don't think people prior to death. I don't think people go to hell. You know, there's that parable. They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe them, neither will they believe somebody who rises from the dead. I don't think the Bible gives credence to that, but I have sometimes heard that, and that becomes the objective truth. My story, my personal experience becomes the objective litmus test of what is true and what is not. Or I heard somebody preach once in a Presbyterian church on the merits of a testimony. And he said, you know, people can argue the Bible till they're blue in the face. They can disagree with the Bible till they're blue in the face. The one thing nobody can argue and the one thing nobody can doubt is your personal faith story. And I think that represents a conflating of the word of God with experience. And I think that's a very dangerous place. What do you guys think about that?
What you were mentioning about, we can't question somebody's faith story, that made me think about, when my wife and I were about to get married, we were going through premarital counseling, and the pastor who was marrying us and counseling us, told us that we had to learn how to fight fair. Because we were going to fight, so you had to learn how to fight fair. And one of the ways that you do that is, instead of saying you did this or you did that, you house things within how you're feeling at the moment. Now, that doesn't mean you stop with your feelings, but you start with that, saying, when this occurs, I feel blank. Because when you do that, the other person, I mean, they can attack your feelings, but those are subjective things that you are experiencing that somebody from the outside, in terms of an argument, would have a tough time, going after that, because then they're just attacking your feelings and experience, which may or may not be true, but that is the thing that you're experiencing. That's what you're bringing to the table at the time. So I guess from that perspective, I see what that person means in terms of, we can't argue with somebody's faith story, faith journey, because that is the thing that they have experienced personally that has impacted them personally. Now, I will then house that with a warning that doesn't mean it's true. I mean, just because, you know, I get irritated when, you know, my wife does X, Y, or Z, doesn't mean I'm justified in being irritated when my wife does X, Y, or Z. It just is how I feel at the time. Now, we can move forward and we can work on that, and I can change because I was probably in the wrong. And somebody who starts with, not all the time, but so, thanks, Barry, for chuckling. but somebody who's telling you about their faith journey, faith story, whatever you want to call it. That is their experience, and that's what they're bringing to the table. Again, it may or may not be valid. It may or may not be true. It may or may not be what is, you know, what we understand scripture to say about these certain things, but it's a place that you can start from in terms of, you know, conversing and hearing about somebody's faith experience. So I guess I want to give a little bit of latitude there, but I also want to be careful that we don't just say, well, because someone experienced it, therefore it's true, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
Well, it goes back to what Aaron said earlier, is that we have to measure all of these things against scripture. And so often when you read these accounts, they portray heaven in ways that are contrary to heaven, or, you know, you don't, like, I've heard things such as, you know, I go up and Jesus is frolicking through a meadow with me, and it's just so individualistic, whereas all the visions of heaven that we see are these multitudes of people together worshiping a lamb seated on the throne. And I just think you really have to measure what they're saying against what scripture people who really have seen heaven revealed to them by virtue of the Holy Spirit is saying, and measure it against that. I think also you have to realize people like to make a buck. And there was a story not too long ago, maybe it was a year or two ago, where this story of this young boy when he was 5 or 6 went to heaven, and he ended up writing a book. Oh, then later he reveals, I'm sure after a lot of checks were written, that his dad just coached him along in this thing. And the mind is powerful. I have one dream I had a number of years ago. It wasn't about heaven. But it was just about something happening to one of my family members. And I woke up and that dream was so vivid. Even today when I think about it, it just sends chills down my spine. It didn't happen, but it felt like it to me. And so we really have to, we are to be people of the truth. And if a story is not in accord with the Bible, then we're really offering a false witness. And to me, that becomes very dangerous territory, because the Lord tells us we've got to be true in our witness.
Yep. And I think that's the danger of experientialism, where our experience interprets scripture rather than letting the Bible interpret our experience. And maybe that to me is one of the big cautions as we encourage people, and I want to encourage people to share their testimonies and to share the story of God's grace in their lives. But, well, we are out of time, so that brings us to the end of another episode of 3GT. Thanks for tuning in. Head over to our website, 3gt.fm, and if you have not already, head on over to iTunes to subscribe to this podcast. Thank you for tuning in.